Joe. Thank you for your confidence. Hallelujah. I believe that God is trying to do a very significant work. Amen?
Amen.
I believe God's going to do a very significant work. I want to tell you that there's a battle that's raging. And that battle is raging on the earth. And that battle is raging in the battlefield of the mind and of the hearts. And of the hearts. And that battle is being waged against, with man, against principalities and powers in high places. Amen? In governments. In a government, that means with a head and various orders. So the Greek word means in high places. And there is also a battle in the heavenlies waging tonight. Battles waging in the heavenlies. Let me read it to you. And we see that, first of all, I want you to know that as the woman, the visible church, is in pain, she's troubled, she hurts, she's pregnant with a life-giving seed that has been put into the visible church, and she is got something inside of her that is of her own kind that's building. And it's a man. And it's a child. And it's a man-child. And we find out that after this child, this man-child, is the invisible church that's within the visible, for a church always gives forth after its own kind, is cut out, and this company, this man-child company, has grown, is forming unto that great man-child, Jesus Christ. And when it is cut out, the devil, the woman, the visible church, goes into a wilderness for 3.5 years. And verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. War in heaven. Michael, and Michael is an archangel, isn't he? Michael and his angels. Doesn't that mean the unfallen angels? All right. Who is fighting this war, and where is it? It's being fought in heaven, in the heavenlies. It's being fought by Michael and his angels. That means he is the commander over those angels. He's in government as a government of angels. And his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. His angels. And prevailed not. Neither was a place found any more in heaven. So it isn't the case of Michael, the archangel, and his angels in heaven fighting the dragon and his angels on the earth, is it? But it's Michael and his angels in heaven fighting the dragon and his angels in heaven. Isn't that what it says? Now, so there's no misinterpretation as to who the dragon is. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Now we know who he is. He's that same serpent that beguiled Eve in the beginning. He's that great dragon, that old Leviathan that's in the waters, that the worm put on the hook, draws out and defeats. If you don't understand that, there's a booklet on the counter called "Can a Worm Whip a Dragon?" A sermon I preached a while back. You might want to pick it up though. Put some money in the slot. The devil, diablos, the riddle, the throw through, and Satan, adversary, which deceiveth the whole world. Now this battle's in the heavenlies, but it's having an impact on the world. And this devil is in the process of deceiving the whole world. And that means you and I, brother and sister. Not the earth, not rocks and trees, but the world, people. He deceiveth the whole world, and there's not one person here who hasn't been deceived. Everybody here has yielded to the deceptor and has been deceived and brainwashed. Now, I don't mean totally deceived. I don't mean God hasn't brought you out of it, but the deceiver has been there, and what has he deceived you with? Making you think that you've got to earn your own way to heaven. Making you think that you're the standard of holiness. Making you think you get to heaven by how good you've been living lately. Having you look to yourself, bringing you into the slough of despair because you miss, making you feel better than other people. Making your church or yourself a man's standard, the standard. By leading you into sin and thinking you can get away with it and get away with it and get away with it because God's grace is so big. By making you super spiritual, by making you follow every coincidence and think it's God, by going underground and so you don't think anything's of the devil when it is, by thinking everything with the devil is of the devil when it isn't, by anything and everything, and the whole world system and fashions and everything. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So now we know who wins the battle. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength." Brother, when the man-child company is caught up, you're going to have full, accomplished salvation. Now, salvation means you're saved. Saved from what? Saved from sins. Legally, you're saved right now, but brother, experientially, we know we ain't completely saved right now. And the devil knows it. Saved from judgment. But some people are entering into judgment. And they will enter into judgment, and they're backsliding. But come that day, my friend, this word salvation, which has an awful final ring to it, will be accomplished. That which Jesus brought on Calvary has been contested in the courts of heaven by the old prosecuting attorney, the devil himself, the adversary that accuses us before God day and night, it says. Day and night, he's going. That same one who goes, went throughout the earth looking for someone to accuse. When he met with the sons of God before God, you remember. He's accusing you, my friend. And he's finding plenty of ammunition. We've got a great judge. I love that judge. He's a righteous judge. We have a marvelous attorney. The Paracletos. The Holy Ghost. Marvelous attorney. I love that attorney. But the devil has got us on good grounds. But our attorney has some real wonderful, don't want to use call them tricks, but he's got some truths in his bag that the old prosecutor isn't fully ready to face. And the old dragon wanted to get that man-child company before he was taken out. He didn't get him. And once they're there, then they can say, now has come salvation. It's been contested all these years. I didn't know if I was saved or not half the time. I couldn't really hardly tell. Jesus saved me on Calvary from my sins, and here I am sinning. I left my old man in the tank, and the old man's walking with me. Old wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But we have to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Thank God there's a legal salvation, a legal grace, and a legal justification, and a legal holiness until we become experientially holy. No wonder the woman is paining to be delivered. Now it's come salvation and strength. When salvation comes in, brother, you got strength. Once you get rid of that devil and he's bound, you got strength. And the kingdom, you know there's a kingdom? Yeah. You know what a kingdom is? First of all, it's a king. And then it's a dome, like a kingdom. And this whole vault and this whole universe, that's the dome. And there's a king over those servants. You have to have a people, or you can't be a king. And he's king over all of those in his dome. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, he speaks, and there's no argument. On earth, he speaks, and there's mumbling and grumbling and arguments and complaints and disobedience. But Jesus prayed that Father's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, not just that it'll be done in heaven, but on earth. Do you believe that Jesus' prayer is going to be answered? Then his prayer is going to be heard and answered on earth as it is in heaven. Now, and the power of his Christ, that means the power of his anointed. Who is his anointed? Well, it's first Jesus, and then it's all of those who are in Jesus who are yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit, who are anointed of God. That's his anointed. We are his anointed who are in Christ, if we are anointed. How do you get anointed? You have to be perfect? How many think you have to be perfect to be anointed? How many think you don't have to be perfect? How many think you have to have faith? How many don't? The don'ts would be wrong. I don't see any don'ts. You have to have faith in your good works. No. In the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He's after you, my friend. And they overcame him. Who's they? That's that man-cow company that was taken out. They overcame him. Who did they overcome? The devil. The devil, who is over all those under him of the fallen angels, the devil and his angels we just read about. They overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb. That's first. By the blood of the Lamb. Not by your wisdom, not by how great you are. And by the word of their testimony. What word of testimony? How great we are? The only word of testimony we really got, the only testimony we really got is by his grace he saved us, by just faith in his, how wonderful he is, admitting that I am a sinner. That's the word of our testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Why rejoice? Because his kingdom has come. Because his salvation has come. Because strength has come. Because the accuser is cast down. Because we don't no longer have those demons on our back. But now, who's the battleground? There's a dragon and his fallen angels, and there's Michael and his unfallen angels battling in heaven over us on the earth. God wants us and the devil wants us. Did you know God wants you? Yes. Did you know the devil wants you? He's paneros, the Greek says. That means so wicked that you're not content to perish in your own corruption, you got to drag everybody else down with you. Now, here we've got a battle, but we are also wrestling. We are wrestling against two forces. God is drawing us by His Holy Spirit, and the devil is tempting us by his evil spirit. And we are the decider of the issue. And we're in a battle, and there's a battle raging in our minds and in our hearts. We find ourselves besieged on both sides. We have lived in a wicked world and have imbibed the appetites of a world system. And when we mess our lives up good and proper enough, God shines a light on us and shows us ourselves, beckons to us with His love, and we ask God to take the big weight off our back of sin and plunge in the sea of God's forgetfulness so we can stand up straight. And at that moment, we are a brainwashed know-nothing, unrighteous but forgiven, given a new begotten spirit so we can have union with Him whom we don't even love yet, but at that hour we begin to love Him for what He's done a little bit, and we start on a path. After we turn around, it's called conversion, we turn around born brand new with a new begotten spirit, same soul, same body, and we start off toward a kingdom that we don't know about as God begins to teach us through His Word and by His Spirit, by the help of others, of His saints. Now, we were in a battle, and how does the battle in heaven go? Let me tell you. The battle in heaven goes as the battle on earth goes. And the Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He tells you to put on armor, a certain kind of spiritual armor. Salvation. Faith. Of righteousness, faith, feet with the shod, with the preparation of the gospel, peace, and truth on the loins, faith hill, and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God over hill for your sword. Now that's your spiritual armor. And then he says, get the strategy. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And now we go out and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Get rid of his fiery darts. Stand fast and quit yourself like men, which means don't quit. And you start in with the sword of the Spirit, with faith, with righteousness, with truth, with salvation. And you begin marching, and you begin to fight the devil. And as you resist him, what happens? Now, how do you know who wins in heaven? I mean, what decides? Here's the unfallen angels and fallen angels. What kind of a... They're not cutting each other with actual sword. There's no blood flowing. They're spirit beings. They're not using big tanks. There's no bombs. They're not bows and arrows. They don't slug or slap. They never hit each other. But they're battling. What kind of a battle is this? What kind of a battle? How is Satan battling? He's accusing. He's accusing us to God. On what grounds? On any grounds he can find. What good does that do? Because God has made us free moral agents, and there's a justice, and there's a judgment, and there is proper grounds, and when Satan comes on certain grounds, he has rights. And when he comes with truth, and he says, this person has chosen to obey me and not you, you have given him the truth, and then I lied to him. He took my lies over you. They have told him time and time again this is not true. He knows my word. Your word does not say that, but he chooses to believe me. I have a right to lie to him. I have a right to his ill. I have a right to constantly besiege him with lying spirits because he chooses them. Do I not? And God says you do. And about that hour, I don't know anything about this, how these spirits fight, excepting through whatever there is, whatever energy flows between them. In truth, in truth, whatever is true, whatever is right, and whatever principles is the only way I know, and there might be some other way, but that's the only way I know. But the point is, when we give in down here to the devil, the forces of evil have more ammunition, more ground to stand on, more rightful ground. See, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, speaking of the devil, and findeth no place in me. He findeth nothing in me. He came, and he couldn't find any place to attack. He could find no weak area. He danced around me like a boxer, and all he could find was I had a big iron coat on. He couldn't find a weakness in me. He couldn't find a weak kidney member in my body. He couldn't find a weakness any place. I had no weakness. He had no little crack in my foundation he could stick a crowbar in and comply on me. He had nothing he could do to me. He went around and around and around. He was trying to invade me. And he sailed his battleships round and round the island, and he kept firing, and my ports were impregnable, and he finally says, I don't find a beachhead. I don't find any place. I can't find any place to land. We might as well call off the invasion. And the Bible says that Satan left him. And the Greek says he left him for a more opportune season. He could find nothing in him, and he left him when he was tempted in the wilderness. Now, he comes to us hunting for something. If he can find some ground, if he can find a mental weakness, he can begin to attack you mentally. If he can find a spiritual weakness, he can attack you spiritually. If he finds a physical weakness, he can attack you physically. He cannot deal with truth. He has to deal with error. He has to twist the truth before he can use it. He has to find something that he can work with you on. And if he can find grounds, then, see, God told Satan when he said, well, Job, you know, all skins were in a skin, all will a man give for a skin. I mean, you take everything away from him and he won't serve you. And God says, okay, you go ahead and do that, but you cannot touch his life. That is, you cannot take away his life. He had to have permission. God gave him permission. He had certain grounds that he was being contested. Job's affirmation and life had to be tested. Our affirmation in life has to be tested. Satan is allowed to come in and test our testimonies. We make in our heart, in the pew, and in the podium. He has the right to test us, see what we mean business. We need to know it. God needs to know it, and the angels, as it were, and the devil needs to know it. And he has the right to test us. And when we give in to him, he has a right to come to us. When we choose him over God and his ways over God, he has a right. But God says, only so far you shall go. This one's a new convert. He's my little hothouse plant. You can't touch him for a little while yet. He has to, sure he'd blow over right now. I admit that. But he just saved by grace. I'm going to just keep my grace hand over for about 6 months here and let him grow up a little bit. And after he grows up a little bit, the devil says, well, how about, now you haven't had me at him for about six, I haven't never had a chance at him yet. How do we know he's any good? He's untried. God says, I know. Well, he's getting about big enough. You just blow, but just easy right now. So he can just blow easy. No hard blows on him. And he lets him blow easy, see? And he begins to wither away, and he begins to moan and groan and cry and all of this. Now, after a while, God says, that's enough. He's crying enough. Yes, that's enough. He may have bent over. He may have fallen. He may have gone under. He may not, but that's enough. After he gets bigger, heavier stock, God says, okay, go ahead and huff and puff and let him blow his house down. He's stronger. His roots are deeper. He may also collapse. He may not. But he can resist temptation. He will not allow any more to come upon you than you're able to bear. That's commensurate with your ability to bear it. This is a promise of God. If the devil is attacking you, God's letting him. God says, for every temptation I've made a way of escape. Jesus said, I am the Hodas, I am the way. So we know there's a way. We can run into it. Lord, deliver me not into temptation. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Lead me not into it. He says, I won't lead you into it. Of course, if you run into it, I'm not going to trip you. I'm not going to drag you back. If you want it, then you'll find it. We'll learn through our many mistakes. As the battle goes on earth, so it goes in heaven. And when we are falling back, God's angels fall back. And the devils and his angels advance with their arguments in the court of heaven, as it were. These are analogies. We don't know what it's actually like, but in earthly analogies, these are the scenes that we can picture to understand with our terrestrial minds what's going on in the celestial spiritual realm. And when we hold fast and bind together and we speak truth, the devil and his angels are thrown back, and the defense attorney is able to present good, sound arguments based on Calvary. And then, when you're under demonic oppression and there's an actual living being, spirit being, that has a mind and intelligence, who has been sent on a mission by a formulated strategy in these governments and principalities and powers in high places, when he has seized upon your mind and he's besieging you with thoughts, tempting and lying and oppressing and pressuring you, until you hardly know whether you are standing or not and ready to commit suicide, and you're calling into God, and some other saint says, in the name of Jesus, I take the power of attorney that you have given me. I write a check against the bank of heaven right now for 12 legions of angels to come and deliver this soul if he needs it. I now, in the name of Jesus, rebuke that thing. And now, because there is faith, and that person in his weakness says, yes, Lord! And in his very innermost being, his spirit is saying, yes, Lord, deliver me. Even though he's walking all crooked. And God says, you see, he's crying for help now, Satan. So you can't have him. And those angels have to, of the demon angels have to fall back. And the others come down and lift and drive that force off. And there's a lifting. And the clouds lift. And my things look different. The people look sweeter. They look more friendly. That grudge you held against him, you had a tight vice on him. And now you look at it as he's tight on his throat. And now you unloose and say, oh, I'm sorry, brother. I didn't really know what I was doing there. I mean, you find out he hugs you and say, boy, you know, this guy can be sweet if he wants to. I thought he was a, you know, worst hypocrite in the whole church. I find out he was just misunderstood and he felt rejected and his flesh just blew up. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't want to do that any more than you did. You don't want to stand there toe-to-toe and slug each other, you two Christians. It was just that you both were in the flesh because you didn't know how to handle the thing. And so as the battle goes on earth, it goes in heaven. And when this man channel is formulated, God's got this thing hidden. But in the kingdom of God, there is something growing. And when we begin to get strengthened, those demonic forces are going to be driven back further and further. And someday, we shall sing, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now has come salvation and strength. An accuser who accuses before God day and night is cast down. Praise the Lord. And now we are saved from judgment and sin totally and finally, forever. We win. So hold on and believe God. And let the angels of heaven come and deliver you. And they deliver you by right principles and faith in God. Faith in what God's word says. Rising to full sonship, claiming the word, people binding with you, taking a hold of it. Even when your mind wants to go out and rebel, somehow I know I'm rebellious. I know I don't want to, I want to do everything wrong today. I get a double-minded, divided heart. Somebody help me. And if somebody will help them, they'll just say, yes, Lord. God will begin to drive those forces away. And some of you that are going through these things, my friend, you can't just stay there and let them beat you to death. You don't want it. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to drop out. You don't want to be under that cloud, that gloom. You don't want to be down in that cobra pit. Somehow, cry out. And then don't come to serve and say, oh, I've been living this way. This devil's been on my back and I couldn't help it. My friend, you're weak. God knows it. God knows you're little, like a little child and those big bullies down the neighborhood were beating on you and pressing you and lying to you and accusing you. And so you finally, you couldn't hold your equilibrium as a little five-year-old anymore. And you were throwing a tantrum and screaming and hitting and throwing rocks and swearing and everything else as a little five-year-old because you couldn't resist those demonic bullies down the block. Get you over to the circus tent and you're fine, little kid. Sure, and someday you'll find out you're going to be fine when you get away from those things. But in that, God is building something. He's teaching us how to walk by bullies, how to fight them off, how to stand fast. Don't let them bluff you. I saw a black dog chase a white dog through my backyard one time. That black dog chased that white dog and went sailing around there. Like a minute and a while, and the white dog chasing the black dog back. Out bluffing each other. And that's the way it is sometimes. The devil bluffs, you know, bluff. He's not scared of noise, but he knows when you push him on right principles and your heart's right. Not words, but the heart on the right principles and faith in God. How's the battle going in heaven? According to our faith and our decisions, our crying out in help one to another, binding together. God doesn't require any more than he's not a hard taskmaster any more than our children. And when we have our children, what do? We They do wrong, we spank them. We let them learn and fall down. If they insist on going their own way, well, then we finally let them. We try not to. We hold them back. We give lots of grace. But we love when they make mistakes and they ask forgiveness. We love them. We insist that their heart wants to do right. We know they won't always do right. God doesn't expect more of us. But he does expect us to grow up as we sit at the Father's table and feed. We do expect him to learn some things. We do expect him to grow up. We do expect him to read and study, apply themselves, and play. We know they'll make mistakes, but we love them anyway. Don't go into a closet. You want your little kids to go into a big, deep cloud. You want them to be free when you forgive them. Give them a big kiss and go on your way, sweetie, and just be completely free. And that's what it is with Jesus. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's wonderful. God is wonderful. Your Heavenly Father is a sweet, wonderful Heavenly Father. He's not some mean or ogre that you have to try to get by some way and try to convince the son to go into the father and say, oh, Father, would you please, for, you know, well, okay, for you. See, that's the way some people think it is. No, you're just praying to God. Father, I love you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be your wonderful name. You love us. Take care of us. He won't drop you. He's your loving Heavenly Father. Amen. Sweetest person in all the universe is your Heavenly Father. And he has a Father's heart for you. Well, I told you I wouldn't go over 5 minutes, so I won't. God bless you. Let's just go on. Just praising the Lord. Letting the Lord...